encouraging to see you guys out this evening. You guys, anybody pick up something? Might have been an overlap between the two songs, one theme there. Kind of stood out to me. I don't know if it was just on my mind. Blood. There you go. The blood of Jesus. And just going through the crucifixion in our family Bible time. And when you explain the crucifixion to kids, it somehow just like, all, maybe it takes away some of the facts and you begin to realize, and sometimes the shock on their faces really helps to reinforce the reality for yourself and think, wow, what the Lord went through. And I guess I had forgotten that he was blindfolded while he was being punched. And you think about the difference between being punched and you can see it coming versus being blindfolded and you just don't know where it's, when the next blow is going to fall on. And he did that for us. And so, what a wonderful Lord we have. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. We're coming to the very end. I'm not promising that this is the last, but it may be next to last. Here, as we've been studying this precious sermon, best sermon of all time, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been dealing with the application and the invitation, you might say, of this, and he's two parts here that we all know so well. Because of that children's song. It's neat how songs that are taught to us at a young age can help reinforce things. But we know that the wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man did not, and built it upon the sand. And so as we turn, I want to kind of put our focus on two, we're going to look two different ways. Hopefully we can do both of those this evening. So I'll read verse 24 through 27 just to get the context. And he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." As we kind of look towards this, I want us to think in terms of the rain, the floods, the wind, and the beating upon the house. There's an aspect to which every man's house is going to be tested. And he's talking about that testing. In some sense, we have been applying it all along. And I think it's in light of the last judgment that's to come. That's when the testing is going to take place. The Apostle Paul says, "Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it." There's coming a day when, hey, we can be looking like everything's going along great, and we can put on a facade and a picture for other people, but it will be revealed before the Lord in that day at the final judgment. And we've seen that there's an aspect to which this judgment has been a part of this entire chapter. The very first verse talks about, "Judge not that ye be not judged." In light of the judgment that's coming, live your life this way. And when we come to this, we see that the broad way in verse 13 leads to destruction. That's the final destination versus eternal life on the other side, which is a final destination as well. So we're looking towards the end. He's going to say in verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, the day of the judgment. And so there's an aspect to which the foolish man's religion, if we want to look at it in terms of his house in that regards, his show of doing all the right things. He wants a home in heaven. He wants all these good things. And so he's built himself a house, but he has neglected the one essential. And so it looks great. You go in, knock on the door, nothing falls over. You open it up, you go inside, there's a plush couch. There's a great easy chair. There's a time to, you know, many great times. But when the test came, at that moment it failed. It's a sad thing that the foolish man's religion abandons him when he needs it most, at the time of the judgment, because it's not worth anything. It's not real. There's an aspect to which, so that we've kind of looked at that, we beat on this, that we don't, he's warning. There's a great warning, and the passage itself ends with that warning. It fell, and great was the fall of it. He's speaking to people who are Jews, and they might tend to think, they might say, oh, I have Abraham as my father. Oh, yeah, I've grown up with this stuff. I've been a part of it. You know, I've been in the synagogue all my life. You know, there's aspect. He's trying to warn people, don't make assumptions. You need the rock. Who is the rock? We're going to look and see in terms of that's Jesus Christ himself. He's calling people to understand who he is. But you know, there's another aspect to these testings, and that is, let's not think of the testing of the rain and the wind and that analogy towards the end, but think about it in terms of testing during this life while we still yet live. Does that yet happen? Is our faith not tested while we walk this pilgrim journey? 1 Peter 1 says that the trial of your faith, this faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. He was writing to believers who are being persecuted. In fact, later on in that book, he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's taken. You know what? You're in a fiery trial. It is hot. But don't think that you're an outlier. Don't think that this is outside the norm. This is to be expected for believers. Trials. There's an aspect to which this is probably specifically related to their standing up for the Lord, but I think there's many things that cause us to waver. You think about the rain. That sounds pretty good right now. That doesn't sound like a trial. We could use a little bit of that rain right now. But you know, they have a saying that there's two sayings my grandmother said. One was, when it rains, it pours, all right? So that was kind of, and she would always say, trouble's like bananas. It comes in bunches. I always like hearing that because I was always, I was having my second or third difficulty. I'm like, oh, thanks, Grandma. Pass me that banana. I'll eat it. Oh, we can have disappointments, expectations we had, dreams fall short, fractured relationships, fading vitality, deteriorating health, disappearing riches, sudden bad news. You know, these things can come, and it can come boom, 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 and it begins to rain, and your faith is tested. Now, that's just kind of things that we experience in this life, just living. What about persecution? What about hatred of this world? What if you are rejected, and people are like, I just don't really want to be around that person because he's a Christian. I really don't want to be invited to church the 10th time. I don't like that they don't participate with me in my activities. Just the way they talk condemns my mouth. I don't feel comfortable being around. You might feel that. The scripture says, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, I'm a stranger in the earth. That expression of abandonment, where you don't feel like you have this world is not my home. I don't fit in here. So we think those, and that's about as rough as we've ever experienced. Or maybe someone says a cross word at you, giving out a track, or you know, rips it up. But what about the persecution of those who are burned at the stake? And those went to their death and were beaten. And their goods were confiscated and their homes were vandalized because they were Christians. Oh, the rains and the floods came and the winds blow. So now you can hear the rain coming down and it's a gully washer and the floods are coming out and you can hear it beginning to beat upon the house and the wind is causing it to creak. On top of all these things, not only can we have the disappointments of life, we can have the hatred of the world, But we have an unseen enemy who attacks us in an organized manner with doubts. You ever doubted God? You're like, why am I thinking these thoughts? Why am I wondering whether God's going to take care of me? Why is this going? Ever had temptation come at you out of the blue? Evil thoughts? Maybe you just feel downcast. You feel discouraged and can't even explain why. You think the thoughts like, I just don't want to do this anymore. You're like, well, where did that come from? Satan is working in opposition to attack, and the wind is blowing on all this to compound all these things, and it's beating upon the house, and it's rocking. But I want to read that verse again. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. We've got to be firm Christians. And a Christian that has the rock as its foundation is a firm Christian. And the Bible talks about this. He says in Matthew and other places, it'll say, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And we go, oh no, am I going to endure? Well, there is an element that it should put a godly fear in our hearts that says, I need to stick close to the Lord. There's a purpose for those statements. But the reality is also the scripture says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You will be faithful when you are grounded and built on the faithful one. That's why he's called a rock. It's interesting, this is not the only occurrence of this. In the Old Testament, he was their rock. And in Deuteronomy, that becomes a favorite title of God, though it's not mentioned a ton of times. But he says, he is their rock. They have something that they could trust in. That's why God wanted the water to come from the rock to supply their needs, because he was demonstrating that he was the faithful one. God never fails. He never drops his own. He says, underneath you are the everlasting arms. He says, I love you with everlasting kindness. And God's faithfulness is hard for us because we are not that way. We're up, we're down, we're here, we're there. I'm excited for the Lord. I'm depressed. You know, I'm going forward. I'm sliding backwards. And yet the Lord is faithful. And he can cause us to stand upright. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Because of his faithfulness, because he is trustworthy, I can look at everything that God allows in my life and say, his work is perfect. The Bible says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments. The idea of that judgment is when God makes a decree, and he makes a decree in my life. My response when I learn of what he has decided and moved in my life is going to be praise to God. That's who he is. Psalm 37:37 says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. You look at him. For the end of that man is peace. The righteous man went to sleep that night. I don't know if it was at night. Maybe it was in the day. I imagine at night, that's when storms tend to come. He wakes up in the morning, and his house is still standing. He's secure. He's at peace. The Bible says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I don't have to be afraid. Even preaching, you know, say, well, watch out, Pastor, you're preaching on this verse. It's going to happen to you. Okay, maybe. Maybe evil tidings are coming. I don't have to be afraid of them. I don't have to be afraid of bad news. I don't have to be afraid of answering the call. I don't have to be afraid of having the conversation. I can trust in the Lord. He is my rock. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Psalm 91, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth, his faithfulness idea there, shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that waits the new day. Oh, man. No fear. When the disciples are out on the boat, and the winds are going, and the waves are tossing them, and they come to him and says, carest thou not that we perish? We know you don't care about us. You're sleeping. And he gets up and he says, peace, be still. And he turns around and says, why were you afraid, O ye of little faith? We put our faith in the rock. Fear does not disturb us. The winds do not move us. The waves, the torrent, the flood. You will stand the test of life and beyond it to the judgment day if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, if you don't have a relationship, you're going to fold. You're going to wilt. In fact, the Bible says sometimes he raises up divisions in a church. It says they must needs come so that those who are approved may be seen. That happens from time to time. God wants a pure church. I'm not saying anything, but I'm just saying that's a reality of what can happen. There's conflict can come in someone's life. Trouble happens to test us, to show us what we are, who we really are. And if we do not have a walk with the Lord, we're going to faint. We're going to fall. We're going to be discouraged. We're going to be downcast. But if you have a relationship with God, you will be practicing the things that you need for a storm. Because every day, if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to be doing some things that are absolutely at you need for the storm. It's like being ready all the time. Emergency preparedness. One thing, if you're walking with God, you're always telling him, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You're constantly coming to him and saying, Lord, please direct my path. Please show me. I don't want to have my say, because that's absolutely essential in the storm. We'll always gripe and fight against God and resist him if we don't give him our will. And when you're in a walk of submission to him, you're going to be hearing the voice of his assurance. He's going to be telling you, well done. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You're going to know the pleasure of God. And that's going to sustain you. And that's what's going to keep you going and saying, you know what, I can be encouraged. I don't have to be discouraged because I'm living for God. I'm living for another day. Ultimately, those are the things we have to live for today. And if we're not right with him. And what the Lord does is says, I'm going to send you a trial to help focus your attention back on me. And that really is the love of the Lord to bring us to that place. Mark the end. Mark the end of the upright. It is peace. May God give us that peace as we're founded upon him, our sure foundation, our rock. All right. Very encouraged. Very good. All right, we've got a couple of words we've got out here. We have the fruits of righteousness.